On the demand side, I mean, it's really firing on all cylinders. With the advent of AI, we can now take that data and kind of turn it into, you know, answers. Occupancy went up globally in senior housing by about 70 basis points, which is really, you know, kind of incredible. I think, you know, we're on roughly track to produce maybe a 200 basis point print this year, which, you know, is, I mean, that's a massive occupancy gain. Doesn't sound like all that much, but I mean, that's really a massive occupancy. But it really is, you know, best we can tell, kind of a truly broad-based dynamic that doesn't really have any notable outliers.
Bridge the Gap, 3, 2. Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. Another great day here in Boston, Leading Age 2025. We got a great friend, returning guest, Eric Morton, Nick Mapp. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to do this. Let's go.
Absolutely. And so you spoke here at Leading Age. There's a ton of curriculum here.
Yeah.
Huge turnout. Yeah. And we would love to pick your brain about what you spoke on this morning and how the audience reacted to it.
It is quite a conference. My first Leading Age conference. It is it's a large, they do it right out here. So it was fun. You know, I had the pleasure of doing a session with Nick and Greystone, kind of looking at, you know, the growth, what growth is going to look like, what are the macro drivers of growth, and then what are the, you know, kind of specific tactics that particularly life plan communities are taking to kind of meet the growing need that we've obviously spoke a lot about on this podcast and in other places. And so it was a pretty packed room. So I think everybody's excited to kind of, you know, gear up for the future. I think, you know, I did my kind of standard talk on, you know, what's coming down the pike and kind of what the mismatch between supply and demand is right now. What I thought was really interesting was Greystone's deep dive into, you know, kind of what that means for life plan communities, how you're seeing a lot of them kind of repurpose their skilled into assisted living or memory care, and then kind of either meet the skilled promise with in-house services or through contracting out. You know, just the increase in unit size, the increase in project costs. So, you know, I think there's a lot of kind of interesting dynamics there with like satellite campuses. So it's, you know, it is a, they're much larger campuses than, you know, your typical rental model. And, you know, it unlocks a lot more kind of synergistic possibilities, I would say. So it was really interesting. That's, you know, I spend more of my time on the rental side. So, you know, it was really interesting to kind of dive deep on that.
Well, Eric, so I know you guys continue at Nick Mapp to grow into additional markets.
Yep.
You said Leading Age, this is your first event.
Yeah.
Does that mark a specific strategy to maybe to go after the nonprofit sector, provide them with more specific data and information, or where are you guys on that?
You know, we've tracked CCRCs and CCRC performance for 20 years, 2026, if you can believe it'll be 20 years of Nick Mapp.
Wow.
And so, you know, we've always tracked that. I would say that has historically not necessarily been kind of the largest part of where Nick Mapp spends its time. You know, a lot of that, I think, is probably two things. One, a lot of CCRCs are, you know, kind of will be outside of those markets that we've tracked historically. So we're expanding our metro coverage. So that'll bring more of them in. And I think a lot of them have been historically kind of single site. And so, you know, kind of looking across a broad portfolio, and they, you know, a lot of them are like, hey, you know, I kind of know what's going on. And what you're seeing is consolidation, decent amount of consolidation on the CCRC side. So that allows us the opportunity, I think, to bring some more value to kind of a multi-site operations. And I think the other piece of it is, you know, the need for growth, right? And so, you know, that is really picking up just the same as it is on the rental side. And so I think that's kind of, it's like, hey, I have a full wait list. A lot of them talk to me like, hey, I have a 5-year wait list and, you know, 100% occupancy. So, you know, I don't really need market data. I'm doing just fine. I think obviously now everybody's saying that may be true. But one, you know, if somebody else comes into your market, that 5-year wait list might evaporate pretty quickly. But then on top of it, I mean, it's not just defensive, it's also offensive. There's a ton of opportunity there. So I think we're starting to see, you know, kind of the nonprofit life plan side respond to the same underlying market forces that the you know, for-profit rental side has really been kind of geared up on over the last few years. And so, yeah, that's kind of creating opportunities for us on both sides.
You know, I've heard a lot of buzz as we've been walking through the expo halls, talking to different operators, providers of different solutions. And it seems that the nonprofit sector just continues to grow. And a lot of operators, providers, developers are really starting to think of how they stack their capital, not just under a more traditional for-profit model, but how can we diversify into the nonprofit sector? So I think it's a great time to be part of Leading Age. They obviously have a huge show here. This Expo Center, we were just talking about that. So let's roll that into a little bit. I'm assuming that in your session, you also probably provided some updates. You guys do a wonderful job at these quarterly reports, and we're coming off of the third quarter report. Is that something you shared with the audience here?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it. I mean, it's more of the same. So I think occupancy went up globally in senior housing by about 70 basis points, which is really, you know, kind of incredible. I think, you know, we're on roughly track to produce maybe a 200 basis point print this year, which, you know, is, I mean, that's a massive occupancy gain. Doesn't sound like all that much, but I mean, that's really a massive occupancy gain. I think we're roughly touching 89% as an industry. So, you know, that should put us within, you know, rounding distance of 90 by the end of the year would be probably a decent prediction just based on historical seasonality. And then, you know, you're seeing independent living's above 90 now. The life plan side remains incredibly strong. And so, you know, you're kind of on the demand side. I mean, it's really firing on all cylinders. And I think there's a psychological barrier probably when we kind of cross 90. I think, you know, we're getting these big absorption gains, but the headline number's still, you know, 89, 88, okay. And so I think once it kind of crosses 90 and then you're continuing to stack these large absorption prints, I think that's going to be kind of a real, psychological sea change that we'll come across. And, you know, on the supply growth side, I mean, it's kind of more of the same. It's, you know, inventory growth and new starts that are still suppressed, relative to historical. So, you know, the story kind of remains the same, but we really are seeing, I mean, and it's, we've sliced the data, you know, by rate tier, by market type, by market, you know, call it, you know, tertiary versus primary, by age, you know, pretty much any kind of cut you can put on it. And the trend lines are really pretty much uniform across. They might have a slightly different, you know, y-intercept or whatnot, but they are the slope lines all look pretty much the same. So it really is, you know, best we can tell, kind of a truly broad-based dynamic that doesn't really have any notable outliers.
So touching on the trends, as you're adding more markets, are you seeing any changes or anything significant in these new markets that you're reporting on, or is it basically just staying the same?
It's a little early. You know, we're still kind of adding the data in, but I mean, honestly, it's kind of the same story. You know, you just, obviously there's some markets that have, you know, Atlanta or Houston or something that, just saw a lot more supply growth over the last cycle. So you'll see, you know, it kind of depends on where you're starting from can really vary. But the trend, I mean, it honestly, I can't find, I mean, I spent most of, you know, the post-COVID period just trying to look, is there some part of this market that's kind of doing really well and another part that's not doing really well? And honestly, it's kind of the same story everywhere. So, you know, which I think is a kind of a testament to the need basis, the broad, you know, kind of need-based dynamics that drive our industry and the significant growth of the, you know, the population. Aging income qualified population and need qualified population, and, you know, frankly, just not a lot of supply. So it's not like there's one area that somehow, you know, got some magic difference. It's kind of the same story pretty broadly.
Yeah. So futures and speculative forecasting into 26, you know, we're getting into the fourth quarter here, entering holiday season. Everybody's already making their plans for the big events for next year. Seems like excitement, but what would your speculation be?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will continue to be, you know, last NIC was, I think, the, you know, second highest attendance for any fall NIC, which is, you know, I think the second highest attendance in all of NIC history. You know, I think I've heard similar things here. I don't, you know, have as much inside baseball here as I do on the NIC side. But I mean, I think everybody's kind of seeing it. Buildings are filling up. We're seeing finally the full healing from COVID is, I think, really upon us. And I think everybody's, you know, pretty bullish going into the next year. And you look at the data and there's exogenous events aside, you know, you never know what geopolitics will bring or anything like that. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, we have an industry, we have an incredible need. And I think, you know, as long as the housing market is market keeps working and, you know, the basic of infrastructure of society keeps functioning, I mean, I think we'll continue to see growth.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah. Lucas, you know, these market updates, you know, I don't think how lucky sometimes our audience is or realizes that they are, that we get to have these one-on-one conversations with Eric and his team in this partnership. It's very, very, very valuable information.
It is. And so I'd like to ask a question about, so we're at Leading Edge. These are these life plan communities, the CCRCs. In your discussion, given the data trends that you just laid out, what are the discussions from developers? Obviously, these campuses are much larger.
Yep.
This is not your 80-bed AL that you can get out of the ground and probably have, you know, ready to open in 12 to 16 months.
No.
You know, these are major, major campuses that take a lot of planning and years to actually get them open and occupied. Given that the occupancy is increasing, what are the discussions? Are they thinking expansions, renovations, acquisitions, or is it everything on the table right now?
I think it's pretty much everything on the table. So we saw some really interesting data from Greystone on kind of the number of new CCRCs that are new life plan communities that are open. I think the last 2 years it's been like one or two.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, prior to kind of, I would say prior to that, it was prior to COVID, and, you know, even a little further back in the cycle, it was 5 or 10 a year.
Wow.
So it really, that rate of new campus, I think, has slowed down dramatically. A couple interesting things that I hadn't totally thought through are, you know, it's a different financing vehicle, right? So you're using a lot of times your entrance fees, your equity, then you have kind of bonds, which are, you know, obviously, you know, the interest rate environment is the interest rate environment. So it all moves together. But I think that capital stack might be a little more flexible or a little more attractive in these market conditions. Obviously, you know, the size of everything and the cost of everything has gone up. He showed kind of the same project in 06, and which was 250 units. I think the price is like $93 million. Now that same, you know, 250-unit property, 250-unit campus is going to be like $220 million. So, you know, you just, obviously the costs have gone up a lot. But what's really interesting, I think, for the CCRCs in particular, or the life plan communities in particular, is that they can do satellite campuses, right? They can reposition what they got. I mean, so I think they have a lot. I think with such a large footprint and so much kind of scale infrastructure, I think, and, you know, such a large balance sheet, I think they have more capacity to do things and to, you know, probably frankly take a longer view of some of this stuff. So I mean, and I, you know, I think the reality is, I always talk about the median data when we look at, you know, the boomers are significantly wealthier on a median basis. But when you convert that from a median to an average, I mean, the numbers jump off the page because, you know, the average, you know, a median doesn't take account for like the fact that the top people have way, you know, huge amounts of money. And so I think, you know, in general, there's a whole gradient to the life plan segment, but in general, that tends to be a more affluent consumer. So I think that, you know, in a way they might be better positioned to kind of expand demand or to expand to meet demand than even the rental model is. Even though the rental model is a little more agile, it's smaller, it's less risky, it's, you know, or, you know, it's less risk in terms of the amount of, you know, balance sheet risk you're taking. So, I mean, I think it's a really interesting time. And I think there's a real, you know, there's a really unique opportunity for a lot of these life plan communities to go and, you know, figure out how they get their hands on 15 acres nearby. And, you know, they can serve that as IL, and then they can, you know, reposition maybe one building on their existing campus to AL and meet all that need there. So, yeah, it's a really interesting time.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense because, I mean, they already have the reputation, the branding. A lot of these campuses
have been around. The wait list in many cases.
Yeah, wait list. A lot of these campuses have been around for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, these were built in the 90s, 80s,
yep.
Even before. And they've been in this market for so long. Anecdotally, I have personally have a project at an older community, large campus, where they have a big common area space that's not really, it's just used for various activities. It's attached to a very small, outdated cafe. And they have funding to do a very big, modern update. Pizza oven, bistro, roll-up doors, outdoor kitchen, patio, basically utterly transform a very kind of like bland space. And the residents are very excited about this. And I'm also very excited to bring it to them and complete it. But this is going to look like a high-end hotel experience. And so I think that those types of projects are going to be more popular going forward for these older campuses to repurpose and reimagine these spaces.
Yeah, well, and I think just the nonprofit model and sector in general tends to lend itself to be a lot different than the for-profit sector. I mean, the governance is totally different. You've got typically influential board members, and they're chartered by their charter, by their mission to hold to the mission, to not necessarily just be driven by margin. So, it allows them to be able to reinvest in their campuses and their care and, things that candidly strategically serve that community and that market that they're in. So it's a huge need, all right? There's space for both. So Eric, I would not want to miss the opportunity. You guys have been growing year over year. You're continuing to expand markets. You are diving deeper into the nonprofit sector and all the micro segments. Any little teaser on anything that might be ahead for you guys in 26
sure.
that you could let us in on?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we're adding more markets, which I mean, I think is something that, we frankly should have done some time ago. So apologies for that. But we're, no time like the present. So we're doing that. We've stood up a financial benchmarking capability. We've added these kind of basically digests that give you a strategic analysis of what's happening around your community that I'm absolutely thrilled about. And I think not to sound trite here, but where we're really spending a lot of our time is in historically NICMAP has provided a lot of data, and with the advent of AI, we can now take that data and kind of turn it into answers.
Sure.
And so we're really spending a lot of time in there. I mean, we have a new tool that's coming out. We have people are using, beta access to it right now. It basically takes a rent roll and an income statement and an OM and performs kind of a comprehensive underwrite of the whole deal in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes.
Wow.
So there's some capabilities like that that I think, can really transform the ability of our client base to kind of look at opportunities at scale and either, go deep or pass quick. That's really where we'll focus a lot of our time. And, I'm incredibly excited about it.
Well, that is exciting, Lucas, because, that translates to membership value, provider value, anything that we can ever do to help improve what the operators have resources to improves our industry, ultimately helps the residents and the families we serve. So exciting to be partnered with NICMAP. You guys just continue to do an amazing job. So congratulations to you and your team.
Well, thank you. And to you, you all as well. It's been so fun to, kind of watch your growth and be a part of it or, have a seat at the table. So thank you for that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yes, so much. This is a great conversation. And Eric, we'll let you get back to your meetings and your travel. And thank you so much for your time
today. Yeah, thank you all. And always great. I'll see you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you.
And to our listeners, you can go to btgvoice.com, download this content and so much more. Click down in those show notes and go and visit with NICMAP. Maybe get a demo and check them out. Thanks for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. This show is powered by our sponsors, Align, NICMAP, ProCare HR, Sage, Gibson Insurance, Hamilton CapTel, ServiceMaster, The Bridge Group Construction, and Solinity, and produced by Solinity Marketing. Connect with the BTG Network team and use your voice to influence the industry by visiting btgvoice.com.